Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that I can depend totally on you, that you never change. You absolutely never change. And Father, as I step under the anointing that you have upon my life, as I step into the mantle and the office that you placed upon me, God, I release that anointing. I release that authority out upon these people. The walls will come down around their hearts this day, Lord. They will be open to receive your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your hope and your kindness. They will be open to receive every good thing that you have in your heart for them this day. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we were praying this morning, the Lord gave us two picture words, and I want to speak them over the congregation because I believe this is what God is saying to you today. He said, you're entering a brand new season in your life, and God is challenging you today to dare to let the walls of your heart down. And as you let the walls of your heart down, He's going to plant hope in your heart for your future. He's going to plant expectation and faith in your heart for the days that are ahead. And as you will willingly, deliberately make a choice right now to let down the walls of your heart, God is going to do something in your heart today. And as you also let those walls down, today there are going to be things that fall away from you, like the fall leaves are falling off the trees. Well, there's going to be things that fall away. There's going to be disappointments and hurts and pain and sickness and bondage that's going to begin to fall off of you today as you dare to take that step to say, God, I choose to lower the walls that I've put around my heart. We don't deliberately put walls around our heart, but life slaps you ever so often, and the reflex is to start guarding your heart. So on a regular basis, you have to also deliberately take time to say, God, I choose to lower the walls that I've allowed to come up around my heart because I trust you to do things in my heart. Thank you, Lord. That's your word for us today. And if you want to look in your Bible, we're going to start with Romans 12. And I'm going to do it a little bit different. In Romans 12, we're going to start with the very last verse. Romans 12, verse 21. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Graham Cook has a statement. He says, what if the thing that is wrong in America is there's not enough kindness? What if that is the real problem in America, is there's not enough kindness? That we're not living out the demonstrations of a kind, good, loving God to other people. I want to distinguish between kindness and sweetness. There is a huge difference between kindness and sweetness. Many of us try to be sweet Christians, and the world really isn't interested in a bunch of sweet people, because they can't identify with people that are just going around being so sweet. A lot of times underneath that sweetness, right under that layer of sweetness, there's a meanness, and there's an anger, and there's a bitterness. So I'm not talking about sweetness. I'm talking about looking at somebody, seeing a need, and deliberately going out of your way to take an action of kindness toward them. It's not about you being all sweet and nice. It's about looking at somebody's need, taking a deliberate action to impact that person. If it's nothing but to walk up to them and compliment their hair. If it's nothing but to walk up to them and say, your child is just beautiful. May they be blessed all the days of their life. Acts of kindness, acts of demonstrations of the God that we receive. Now, we started with the last verse of chapter 12. Now, I want you to turn back to the first verse of chapter 12. To arrive at this place where we overcome evil with good, chapter 12 lays out the way we can do this. And it starts simply by you bring your body and you present it to God as a living sacrifice. You say, God, this is a vessel that I'm living in, and I want it to be used to glorify you. I want it to be used. I will drag my body around and make it do things it doesn't want to do simply because I am determined this body is going to be used of the living God. I drag it places, stand it up, and make it be available for me to speak when it wants to be home in bed. I utilize this body deliberately and say, God, this is a vessel. When I take this body to the grocery store, this is an opportunity for this vessel to be a tool and an instrument for the kindness and the goodness of God to impact somebody in that grocery store. And you say, well, that's not my personality. Well, pooey on your personality. Just cold-blooded choice, choose to be nice to somebody. It doesn't have to be your personality. You are a container of the living God. You are a container of the very life and creator of the universe. And how in the world is he going to impact anybody if you don't at least let some of it drip out on them? So just get over it. It's not your personality. Okay, write it on a card, some nice little thing to say. And when you get to the checkout stand, read it and look at them and just say it. Do whatever you have to overcome your inhibitions. You are a container that holds the Holy Spirit, that holds the very essence of God has placed within you of his presence. His presence is in you. I want you to turn to the person next to you. Take a good look at him. You're sitting next to God. Did you hear what I said? You're sitting next to God. The Holy Spirit resides in that person. If they've invited Jesus Christ into their life, Jesus has taken up a residence on the inside of their most innermost being, their spirit man. You are sitting next to God in a human vessel. Now the problem is, how in the world do we let him leak out? Because they sure don't look like God, and I bet you they didn't act like God this morning when they first woke up. And I bet they don't act like God all day long. But they are a container of the living God. And if we're going to impact the world, if we're going to overcome the evil of this age, we're going to have to overcome it not by our little goodness, but by the goodness of God, by allowing that goodness to impact people. So we start out by just presenting our body. And then he says, if you really mean business about this and you want to walk out the perfect will of God for your life, you need to renew your mind. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I love that word transform because it's the same word that is used to describe the process that changes a caterpillar to a butterfly. I love that. A caterpillar cannot do what a butterfly does, right? Have you ever seen a caterpillar fly? No. Got lots of legs. It works really hard. It's busy, 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 busy. It works real hard with all those little legs to get where it needs to go, right? But one day, it wearies of all that effort. And it grabs a hold of a limb. It attaches to that limb. It says, I'm not budging until I can tap into what's really on the inside of me. And in the process that follows, out of that caterpillar comes this glorious butterfly that can do things a caterpillar could never dream of. That's you. That is you. God has deposited in you a born-again, new creation, right-standing spirit. You are a spirit being, and that spirit is alive unto God, but it is encased in a caterpillar. And you're working just as hard as you can to do the best you know how, to be the best Christian you possibly can be. When you need to latch on to everything that Jesus Christ did for you and you begin to say, I'm not budging out of him. I'm going to latch on to who he is and what he has done in me until it begins to show up on the surface. I will not settle for average Christianity any longer. I will not settle for just the norm of pew sitting. You want to hear one of God's jokes? A lot of church people don't get this joke, bless your hearts. But I'm going to tell it anyhow, okay? Now stay with me and see if you can grab this joke, okay? I was busy about my house one day, and God said, Janice, I have a word. I want to speak to you with a brief comment. So I'm really ready. I get a pencil and piece of paper because I think God is about to say something really profound. And he says, pew. And I go, what? And he said, pew. And then he goes, pew. And then he goes, pew. And then he says, and you want to sit on it. I'm proud of you. Most of you got that. That is God's opinion of the pew. That is God's opinion of the pew. Because he called you to be much more than a pew sitter. It's good to sit there and learn and grow. But if that's going to be your Christian career, we've got a problem. So God is calling us to be renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is mind renewal? It is not learning the Word of God. That will not renew your mind. That will only educate it. You will be educated to the Word of God, which is fantastic. That's like putting groceries in the closet so that when you get hungry, you can pull them out and eat them. I'd much rather have a closet that's full of groceries than to have it totally bare, right? So putting the Word of God in is good, but that's just educating you to the Word. It is not mind renewal. Mind renewal is when you dare take that Word and you dare to put it in your mouth and say, God says that I have right standing with Him. God says that I am an overcomer. God says that I am forgiven and accepted in the Beloved. God says that He is not mad at me, that He sent His Son so that He could be kind and good to me. God says, and when you start taking that stuff out of your head and putting it in your mouth, you're going to renew your mind. You try it and see how quick your mind starts objecting to what you're saying. Your mind will start arguing with you, and you keep saying it until your head quits arguing and you're renewing your mind. When your head quits arguing with you, you've got a renewed mind. And when your mind gets renewed, then in verse 3 it says, for I say that through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. Now, that's kind of a confusing verse to me because we don't have a lot of problem with people thinking more highly of themselves in Christianity. Not everybody's going around saying, I just want you to know I did 6 miracles yesterday and I am something. We don't have people going around saying, I want you to know I led 20 people to the Lord yesterday and I am somebody. But I think back then they may have had a problem with people. God was using them so powerfully that they were getting kind of puffed up. They were thinking, I can do this Christianity thing all by myself. And he's saying, don't think of yourself too highly, more than you should, because it's going to take everybody to get the job done. You by yourself cannot accurately represent the fullness of Jesus Christ. You can't show forth every facet of who he is. It takes every single one of us to do that. Every single one of us, it's necessary. Our problem today is we don't think highly enough. It's the truth. We do not think highly enough. I heard a minister not too long ago tell this story about how he was teaching this group of people and he was going on and on about what awesome people they were and how we've got to take hold of who God says we are and take ownership that we are somebody and that God cares about us and that we can accomplish great things. And somebody raised their hand and they objected. And he said, I object to that. You're exalting yourself above God. God is the only one that's worthy. We're nothing. And so he says, well, let me just ask you something. I want you to take a look at this art over here on the wall. He says, now, the artist who painted that, that's his picture that he painted. So will I be glorifying the artist if I look at the picture and say, wow, that's a lousy painting. It's really crummy. Do you see how ugly that thing is? Does that glorify the artist? No. He wants you, if you're going to glorify the artist, you're going to have to take ownership that when he made you, he made a good thing. Do you know how insulting it is to him for you to degrade yourself and put yourself down when he paid the highest price in the universe so he could be stuck with you for eternity? I mean, he's either really stupid or he knew what he was getting when he paid that kind of price for you. We have a tendency to look at ourselves disconnected from the identity God has given us. We have a tendency to know ourselves by our past circumstances, not by who God has declared us to be and is declaring us to be. We have a tendency to be stuck in the old and still coming into the new. I like to compare it to this. If you took a $100,000 air conditioning system, really fantastic, $100,000 air conditioning system, set it down in the middle of the Sahara Desert with absolutely no electrical power within 300 miles. That is a worthless piece of equipment, isn't it? Absolutely worthless. Sitting there, taking up space. No good at all. But if you can manage to run an electrical line to that air conditioner, I bet you could attract a crowd. Right? Okay, here you are on the earth, and the enemy manages to unplug you from God. You're not real impressive, I hate to tell you. I mean, I guess we could take that air conditioning system out there in the Sahara Desert and maybe take it apart and build a sheep pen or something like that. I don't know. Surely we could make something out of it, but it's sure not fulfilling its purpose. Apart from that electrical cord, it's not going to fulfill its purpose. But when you plug it in to that power, it begins to fulfill its purpose. And it is awesome. Well, that's who you are. You can try to be a really excellent accountant if you're an accountant. You can try to be a good father. You can try to be a good mother. You can try to be a good teacher if you're a teacher. But apart from being plugged back into God, your fulfillment of your true purpose will not take place. Plug back into God Almighty, He starts bringing you back into alignment in who He says you are, who He made you to be, who He created you to be, and you are the only one that can fill that slot in showing forth the fullness of Christ. I want you to look at the person next to you again. Wow, you're sitting next to a very valuable person. You're sitting next to a miracle. You're sitting next to someone who can tap in to the supernatural realm of the living God and pull answers out of that realm because they were created with the very purpose of having fellowship with God the Father. And in that relationship of having fellowship with Him, they begin to be restored to their original purpose and design, and they begin to actually reflect God to this world. This world hasn't got anything that can compare with the life, the light, the truth, the hope, the goodness, the mercy, the kindness that our God is. You can go to the best concert you want to go to. You can go to the fanciest bar with all of the fancy lights and everything that's going on. You can do all of the things that the world offers, and it cannot compare to what our God has to offer this world. And you are the container. You are the container. You are the caterpillar that contains this awesome life that God has put in you that needs to emerge to where the world says, how did you do that? How did you do that? Oh, I'm a Christian and I believe that God still works today. I taught a seminar a couple of weeks ago down in San Marcos, and it was just a Saturday seminar on hearing God and the ways that He speaks. And the next day at the church, this young girl comes up to me. She says, you know, after I left the seminar, I went into In-N-Out Burgers, and I was standing there, and I looked at this girl, and I saw this little, it was a grown woman, and she says, I looked at her, and I saw this little bitty girl bouncing a ball. So I just did what you said. I walked up to her, and I says, excuse me, when you were a little girl, did you love to bounce a ball? And she said, oh, yeah, I used to stand for hours bouncing a ball off the wall. And she says, well, do you believe in God? And she says, no. And she says, well, I'm a Christian, and I believe God still speaks today, and I think He's saying to you that He wants you to return to the happiness and joy that you had when you were a child. You walk through the grocery line, you look up at the clerk at standing there at the counter and say, excuse me, sometimes when I'm around people, I just get really strong impressions, and I have a real strong impression there's lots of music in your life. How did you do that? How did you know that? Well, I'm a Christian, and I believe that God still speaks today, and He just wants you to know that He knows you. We are the containers that take God to the grocery store. We are the containers that take Him to the job. You don't have to be this little good person. They're not impressed with you being good. They can be as good as you are. They really can. Some of them be, I know this isn't proper English, but they can be gooder than you are. Your only chance is to allow who God says you are to begin to emerge and to think of yourself according to the way He sees you, but understand you can't do the job by yourself. We need each other. So while we're beginning to take ownership of who we are, let's also take ownership of who the person sitting next to us is. Let's try to find ways to help them be everything they're supposed to be. I've started practicing a new thing. I've started looking at people thinking, I wonder if she's got my miracle. I wonder if he's got my healing. I wonder if God has something they want to flow through that person right there to me. You know, it's totally changed the way I look at people. It's like, you may be holding the very miracle I'm needing at this moment. You may be the vessel God wants to use. Makes me want to walk up to you and say, cough it up. Come on. If we'll start helping one another tap in to what's on the inside of us, we can overcome evil with good. But see, he goes on. He doesn't say this is just going to be your own effort. In verse 4, he says, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. He's not talking to ministers here, he's talking to individuals. He's saying, I made every one of you uniquely designed to contain and be a vessel that certain things flow through. Some of you just naturally, you're good at just helping people understand things. You can teach them something really easy. Some of you are really good at cheering somebody up, encouraging them, giving them a word that makes them feel great. Some of you are good at actually perceiving and seeing and prophesying into somebody's life. You may not call it prophecy, but you can see where they're headed and you can say certain things that impact them. We've all done it. We might not have called it prophecy, but you were prophesying. And so here he's saying, every one of you has been given a gift. You've been given something that is empowered of God Almighty. Now use it. Now let me stop here and clarify that use it thing, okay? I do not believe in taking a club and beating the sheep up. I've been there before. I've been beat up, and I didn't like it. So I don't believe in telling you, you should be ashamed of yourself, you're not using it. Because it's a twofold problem. You haven't been using it, but we haven't really been giving you opportunity and training and equipping and telling you to go do it either. It's a twofold problem. Leadership has got to understand, we've got to start saying, okay, we want to give you chances to do what it is God called you to do. We want to experiment and see what kind of gifting you operate in. We want to equip you. We want to put you in classes. And I noticed y'all are having a seminar on learning your gifting. We want to enable you to be who God says you are. The point is, we don't all need to become ministers on the stage. You are called to be equipped to go do the work of the ministry out there. You're the carriers that are to contaminate the whole world with the goodness of God. Did you know I can contaminate people with the presence of God? I can leave it on them to where they get under conviction. I didn't know I could do this years ago, but I did it. I grew up in church, and I grew up loving God. When I got married and we moved away from home, and we were working for this particular company that was really pretty worldly, and they were having a Christmas party, and I wanted to blend in. I wanted to blend in. Everybody was going to be drinking, and I didn't want to stand out like a nerd. I'm trying to be a cool adult now that I'm grown up and married, and so I'm trying to be this cool adult. And so I attend fully intending to have a drink. And I walk through the door, and the first person walks up and says, can I get you a Coke? And I think, I don't get it. And so I mingle around with that Coke in my hand, and somebody comes by in a minute and says, would you like another Coke? And I'm thinking, what is it about me that has this sign that says, good little Christian girl, don't give her anything to drink? You actually have this presence on you that if you become aware of it, you can deliberately use it. I can deliberately use my presence now. I'll walk in knowing the presence of God is on me, knowing that people are impacted by what they sense coming off of me. And if the opportunity arises, I'll tell them what it is. You know, I'll mention that, you know, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus. But we need to take back the name of Christianity from the slander. We got the idiots running around out there calling themselves a Christian and giving us all a bad name. We need to raise up the healthy models and have people say, you're a Christian? Well, I thought all Christians were blah, 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 blah. I love to mess with their heads like that. I love to totally throw them off. We are containers, and we've been given supernatural gifting and natural gifting. You've been given a personality. How many in this room, when you were younger, growing up, you were called shy, or you may still be called shy now? How many of you fall into that category? Raise your hand. Did you know that you were created by God Almighty to be a natural conduit of the gentleness, the kindness, and the healing of God? You need healing? Go find yourself a gentle person. Tell them, put their hand on you and stand there and pull the healing right through them. They are a natural conduit of healing and kindness and goodness. Gentle people have the capacity that when they touch somebody, they actually leave the fragrance of the goodness of God. When they touch a child's face and they tell that child they're valuable, they actually leave an imprint of God on that child. Because the kindness of God flows through that gentleness. And the devil hates it. So he labels it shyness, keeps you all bound up with fear, because the word shy is just a nice word for fear. And he just keeps you all bound up and still loosing you to be able to identify that I am a very gentle, sensitive person, and I can sense things about people, and I can touch them with the kindness of God. Now, that's a personality trait that God gave you. There's other personality traits. One of my favorite, because this is mine. How many of you have ever been called stubborn and hard-headed or determined? Awesome. Fantastic. Do you know that God created you to be extremely determined? And determination is awesome. When the devil runs up against a determined person, he knows he has met his match. But if you allow that to become labeled stubbornness and hard-headedness, it won't be effective. It'll just be used by the enemy. So you need to find the personality traits that you have and redeem them. Bring them back to what God created them to be. Some of you parents, you need to identify that thing that's bugging the daylights in you and your child and find out what the positive trait is that God originally put there and start blessing it. You have children that sometimes they get called rebellious. Sometimes that's nothing but leadership. Leaders don't like to follow. Just that simple. Now, if they go to the extreme, they do. They get it over into rebellion. And it's not good. So they need to bring it back into the fact, I am a leader. Now, how can I utilize this leadership that's on me in a good, healthy way? Because people are going to follow you. Whether you go the right way or the wrong way, there will be somebody behind you following you. So those are just some of the personality traits. There's a lot of them. Your personality is God created to show forth a part of God. These gifts are supernatural giftings that God has placed in you. Then he goes over and he begins to talk about in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. If you want to chase the devil off, if you want to take a big stick and damage him really bad, give him two black eyes and cause him to limp away from your church, start honoring one another. Start treating people with value. Start acknowledging this is a person that Jesus Christ died for. They have great value. Just because they look like a caterpillar right now, I don't need to treat them like that. I need to pull on what's on the inside of them. I need to begin to honor This is someone that Jesus died for. So they have extreme value. As we honor one another, you will attract heaven and you will chase away demonic forces. It is not honoring when you point out everybody's flaws. You're not honoring them. For every flaw you name, you could probably name twice as many good things about them. If you can't see the good things, then say what God says about them. But begin to honor one another. You're sitting next to God. Right here, you're sitting next to God. And if we don't make a pull on God in that person, that is not New Age. I am not speaking New Age here. I'm talking about born again, righteous, new creation, filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God. If you don't make a demand on that Spirit of the living God that resides in them, all you're going to get is the caterpillar. One of the things that caused me to grow so much was because I had the opportunity to go speak in front of people who didn't know me. And so they thought I was important because I got off of an airplane and I was the guest speaker. So I had to be an authority and I had to be important. And they treated me with great honor. And stuff would come out of me that would just go like, oh my gosh, I hope we taped that. That was good. I mean, I was always shocked. It was like, where did that come from? But see, what they were doing, they didn't know any better. They didn't know my caterpillar. So they reach right in there, grab a hold of the butterfly, and start pulling it out. And that's what one of the things that helped me grow so much. Now, if they had known that their guest speaker that was standing in front of them that got off the airplane that day before to be their guest speaker was wearing a borrowed outfit, they wouldn't have been impressed. Because when I first started traveling and speaking, I didn't have any speaker clothes. But I had a friend that she was the tax collector in our parish in Louisiana, and she had all these fancy suits, and we were the same size. So I'd borrow her suits. But nobody knew that. They thought I was important. And so they pulled on the God that was on the inside of me, and they got him, and I got to see what was on the inside of me. And I said, shucks, this is a lot better than what I know. I think I'll get rid of what I know and start accepting what God says about me. But we haven't learned how to pull on each other. We haven't learned how to acknowledge every good thing that's in that person. You know that little orange book I said will change your life? It can change your friend's life, too, if you just walk up to them and say, so you're the one that the favor of God's resting on. I've heard about you. I was reading my Bible today, and it was talking about you. So you're the one that has the right to walk right into the throne room of God and talk to him, and he actually listens to you. You start talking to each other like that, and you will help one another grow. When I was pastoring a church in Laramie, I had this one person in my congregation. I would get these phone calls, and I would answer the phone, and it'd be this particular person. And she'd say, is this Janice Seney? And I'd say, yes, I recognize her voice. And she said, you're the woman of God that preaches the gospel with power? Yes. So you're the woman of God that God loves intensely and he's watching over you with angels? Yes. And I mean, you know, what are you going to say? No, I'm not the one, you know? Wrong number. You got the wrong number, I'm sorry. She forced me to have to acknowledge things by calling me. We called it blessing me out. They'd call me and bless me out. You need to pick somebody in the church and bless them out. Just walk up, start acknowledging every good thing. He goes on and he begins to give us practical application of how you begin to live out what's on the inside of you. In verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, be of the same mind toward one another, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble, do not be wise in your own opinion. Now you can be wise, just not in your own opinion. There is a difference. I don't know. Y'all are aware there is a difference between opinion and wisdom. Okay, you may think your opinion is wise, but not necessarily. So don't be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, there's a big difference in being a sweet little Christian that's just going to let that person run over you and use you like a doormat and wipe their feet on you and you're going to forgive them. There's a big difference between acting like that and being a powerful Christian who understands that you are somebody of great value, and when they wipe their feet on you, you do not receive their actions, you do not accept their actions, but at the same time, you turn back to them. You hold them accountable for their behavior and extend kindness to them. Now, we read that thing and we think it means, well, if they go wipe their feet on you, you just got to forgive them. No, I think I can say, you know, that was a really crummy thing that you did to me. And I just want you to know that there's a better way to do this, and I'd like for you to be my friend. God will give you wisdom to heap kindness on them. But he doesn't say lay down and be a doormat. And you say, well, Jesus laid his life down. That's true. My favorite saying is, you need to get one before you try to lay it down. Jesus knew who he was. He wasn't in this false humility thing. He knew he was God in the flesh. He knew where he came from and where he was returning. And when he chose to lay his life down, he was laying his life down. What we do is we will not accept that we are children of the Most High God, that our voice is heard in the throne room of heaven, that we're forgiven and God isn't mad at us. He's actually working with us to grow and mature and get out of our caterpillar into the butterfly. We won't accept that. We just let people wipe their feet and say, well, I'm just laying my life down. Well, I'm not impressed. I squash caterpillars all the time. Butterflies, I give them space. I try not to touch them. Caterpillars, I hope that doesn't offend anybody. I'm sorry. I repent. I'll quit squashing caterpillars. I'll put it this way. I don't deliberately squash them, but if they happen to get stepped on, I don't think too much about it. Okay? So as Christians, we have got to transform from this mentality of being nothings and nobodies that's not worthy of anything. We have got to transform to knowing who God says we are so that we can be the containers and vessels of the goodness of God that's going out into the world and overcoming evil with the very goodness of God. With power and demonstration coming out of the spirit realm. We're flying. We're not crawling. We're utilizing the supernatural realm of God to impact people's lives with something more than our own abilities. Isn't that good? I can give you a couple little painful assignments, you know, to do. They'll be awkward and they'll be clumsy. But you know, when a caterpillar's trying to learn to fly, he feels pretty clumsy at it. So I would suggest you do a few things like find somebody that you really don't know. And just walk up to them and bless them out in some way. Or ask them, would you mind saying a prayer for me? If they're not comfortable with praying, we'll say, would you put your hand right here on my head for a minute? I'll pull on what's on the inside of you, even if you don't know how to pray it. I'll just pull on what's on the inside of you. If you were dying of thirst and there's a pitcher of water up here, I think you could manage to tip it over and get some water out of it. Well, there's a pitcher of water sitting next to you and behind you and in front of you. And you don't have to know what you're doing. You don't have to even be comfortable with it. You just have to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm giving you a chance to do your stuff. I'll let you use this vessel, this body. I'll let you push past my mind, and I'll let myself be used. If you do nothing, somebody comes up to you and says, pray for me, and you feel like a total idiot, just say, okay, and say, God bless them. That's okay. If that's all you can do, just say, God bless them. But at least you're beginning to use what has been placed on the inside of you. Praise God. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be a people that show forth your goodness in this world. And we are well able to do it because you wouldn't have called us if we weren't. You are our creator. And for us to say otherwise, Lord, we're saying you made something that was not worthy, that was not a creation that you could be pleased with. And God, you made something that was precious, and it was so precious that when the enemy stole it from you, you redeemed it by the blood of your own Son. And so, Father, we will honor the work of Jesus Christ. We will accept the position you've given to us in him, and we will begin to reach in and grab hold of who you say we are and who lives in us and begin to emerge through that outward man to become everything that you've called us to be. We will not rely in our own abilities. We will rely on your abilities. We will rely on your giftings. We will submit our bodies. We will renew our minds. We will begin to align ourselves with everything that you have for us in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This has been another anointed message by Janice Seney. We hope you have been blessed. Janice can be contacted through the Storehouse Ministry, Post Office Box 12163, Olympia, Washington, 98508. Email thestorehouseministry@hotmail.com or call 360-570-0141. May the goodness of God chase you down and tackle you, His mercy hold you in place, and His grace kiss your life.